This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley, and this is The Signal. Facebook's having a bad week, because any week where you're accused of not doing enough to stop the spread of a vile video of a mass mosque shooting kind of takes on that quality.
If you can write an algorithm to make sure that the ads they want you to see can appear on your mobile phone, they can write an algorithm to screen out hate content on the social media platforms.
But some politicians are going further than that, pushing to splinter the power of big tech giants like Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Apple, and maybe even split them up.
But how you do that, how you get a multi-billion dollar behemoth to voluntarily cut itself up, or how you would force it to do the same, that's really, really difficult.
Splitting up big tech, what does that even look like? And can you win that fight with Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon against you? That's today's episode.
So it's been a week where the terrible, unregulated reach and power of the internet has been in the spotlight, both in terms of how social media networks like 8chan and YouTube facilitate hate groups, and in terms of how one horrific video streamed live by one person on Facebook can be re-uploaded more than 1.5 million times before the website itself can even get close to getting on top of it.
Yeah, and in the wake of all that, Facebook in particular has been in the sights of plenty of world leaders, including our own Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern.
We cannot simply sit back and accept that these platforms just exist and that what is said on them is not the responsibility of the place where they are published. They are the publisher, not just the postman.
I'm quite confident they can write an algorithm to screen out hate content on the social media platforms. I'm sure we can work together to make sure they protect our citizens by ensuring that their tools that they have developed are not used by terrorists as weapons to advance their agendas of hate.
Right, so essentially what Scott Morrison and Jacinda Ardern are talking about there is that the websites need to do better by acting faster to remove terrible content and, in Facebook's case, by reviewing the Facebook Live function, given that the company's algorithms to detect bad content really don't seem to be working very well.
Right, but on the US campaign trail right now, other politicians are going further. And they're calling not just for platforms like Facebook to exercise their power better, but also for some of that power to be stripped away using antitrust laws.
Yeah, and the loudest voice on this belongs to Democratic Senator and presidential hopeful Elizabeth Warren.
I'm deeply concerned right now that the space around companies like Amazon, Facebook, Google is now referred to by venture capitalists as the kill zone. So my view is break those things apart and we will have a much more competitive, robust market in America. That's how capitalism should work.
Right, and by break those things apart, what she's actually saying is that Facebook, Amazon, Google and Apple can't be regulated at their current scale and need to be forced out of some kinds of activities in some arenas.
Yeah, so to work out whether it's even possible to do that, we caught up with Ariel Bogle, friend of the pod and technology reporter in the ABC's science unit.
I guess the two key things here is that Elizabeth Warren, who is very much an economic populist in some ways, thinks that companies like Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple, that they have too much power in the market and they're using that power to bad effect. And two proposals she has to counter this market power is to, number one, undo some of those big mergers that tech companies have undertaken in recent years. So, for example, Facebook bought WhatsApp, it bought Instagram, Amazon bought Whole Foods in the United States, really pushing into that groceries market. Google bought Waze, which is a really good mapping tool. And the list goes on. And a lot of people have said that mergers, like Facebook's merger with Instagram, for example, did entrench Facebook's power in the market, especially over the social media and advertising market, to a huge extent. And that companies like Snapchat, which was considered a competitor to Facebook, would have had more of a chance to take them on if it wasn't for that merging between two already really popular social media platforms.
And the concern might not be so acute from people like Elizabeth Warren if it weren't for the fact that we have seen examples of these companies using that power in anti-competitive ways, right?
Yeah, so one thing she said in her statement about this on Medium, which is interesting, using tech to take on big tech.
Yeah.
It was quite excellent.
It's quite tidy, really.
Yeah.
It's the world we live in.
One of the things she did say was because of their power and lack of competition, lack of competitors, that they aren't pushing forward with greater privacy protections because they don't have to, because there aren't other options for consumers to take if they don't like Facebook's privacy policies, for example.
And but, smothering competitors and things like that as well, right?
Totally. So I think Amazon, although it's not as powerful here in Australia, is probably one of the key companies that she's targeting, because another one of her proposals, in addition to the mergers, was to prohibit companies that she considers platform utilities from offering a marketplace and participating in that marketplace at the same time, which is something that Amazon is notorious for.
Can you tell us how Amazon does that specifically?
So Amazon, of course, is a huge online marketplace. It offers groceries, it offers toilet paper, it offers books, it offers nappies, quite notably, because one of the old stories around Amazon's market power is around nappies.
I don't know this story.
So I'm trying to remember the full story, actually. But there was a competitor that was selling nappies on Amazon and doing really well at it. And Amazon just squashed them. Completely modelled what they were offering and pushed the prices lower, so that company collapsed because it just could not compete.
And this was quite deliberate. It was very targeted. Okay.
That's the accusation here.
The nappies thing is interesting, right? Because it's a little bit like what milk producers accuse Coles and Woolworths of doing here. So I guess the question is, how do we get to this situation? Like, these mergers and some of these, as these companies grew, like, the regulators in the US had to sign off on some of these things, right?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting bit of history here, is that American antitrust law, to get really nerdy for a second, has changed over time. And at the moment, it really looks at the impact on the consumer when judging whether there's a problem with competition, whether there's an antitrust problem. So are consumers being affected by prices that are too high because a bunch of different companies are colluding to keep prices high? But they don't look at the long-term power that is, I guess, captured by these companies through these mergers. Mm. And a lot of antitrust advocates who are advocating for a change in the law, and they've obviously caught the ear of Elizabeth Warren, because a lot of her proposals really are to do with looking at the political power that these companies have been able to accumulate over time.
Okay, so for companies over $25 billion, which is a pretty high threshold, I think we can all agree, the idea is that they would be forced to separate their business so that they're not the major seller and also the major platform for that marketplace. And part two is that some of the most questionable mergers could be reversed.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Warren has built this argument around a critique of monopolies. But along the way, she's been leveraging all this existing public anger and skepticism about big tech, especially the way they've behaved in terms of moderating hate speech and vile content like the Christchurch terrorist video, and how they've handled private user data.
Yeah, and it really does feel, in 2019, like big tech is kind of on the nose.
It's been quite incredible to see the change in sentiment around tech companies in the past few years. When I first started out reporting on technology, You were hard placed to find a critical story. There was so much positive coverage of Google's activities of Facebook. They were going to connect the world, impose this idea of connectivity and free information on an entire globe. But in the past few years, obviously, negative sentiment is more common. And Cambridge Analytica and similar privacy scandals have made people very suspicious of technology, and I think politicians are now seizing the moment and seeing that it is a populist sentiment to have negative feelings about big tech. I don't think they're going to lose votes, except maybe in a very small pocket of California, by taking on companies that are seen as too big and potentially dangerous.
Right, so it's probably a vote winner. But even with all the backlash right now, especially in the wake of the Christchurch massacre, big tech is still extremely politically powerful. As in, these are literally the most powerful companies in the world right now. And on top of running the biggest social media platforms, they also have a stake in traditional media too, like Amazon's founder and chairman Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post newspaper, for example.
Yeah, and just to make it even muddier, tech companies have also historically been more likely to bankroll Democrats than Republicans, particularly during the Obama years. So given all of that, we wanted to find out what's likely to happen next, and we spoke to Axel Bruins. He's a professor at the Digital Research Centre at the Queensland University of Technology.
In theory, some of this would be very sensible and would improve user privacy, would improve competition in the market quite possibly as well. But how you do that, how you get a multi-billion dollar behemoth to voluntarily cut itself up or how you would force it to do the same, that's really, really difficult because in the end, these companies, because they're so big, have a huge amount of power also over how we might perceive these arguments to cut them up, and of course have power over lawmakers, have power over institutions as well. So
yeah,
that's a really significant problem.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, isn't it? Like you can agree all you want with the goals, but sort of believing in whether or not they're achievable is a whole other question. How achievable do you think it is? And I mean, what the way that it's described, the kinds of laws or the ideas that Elizabeth Warren is talking about, how would it actually play out in the real world? Do you think we would see these companies, you know, hive off certain aspects of their functionality, or would they be required, do you think, to actually split themselves up and sell off whole chunks as you describe?
Well, that's very much up in the air right now, I think. I think in theory, both of those options would be possible. It's possible, of course, that, you know, we might see a kind of a more modular structure for some of these companies.
What kind of pushback have we seen from Silicon Valley so far? Just how furious are they about this?
Well, I mean, the first bit of news story that came through, of course, was that Facebook actually removed some of the posts that Warren made
yeah.
on Facebook about her plans. That's very clearly an own goal. I mean, it demonstrates the power that Facebook has and the way that it is exercising that power as well in a way that is fundamentally anti-democratic and really goes against all the claims that it makes to being a platform for free speech and of course is incredibly disrespectful of a seasoned lawmaker as well and of Congress. They have that power, of course. They're probably not going to exercise it too often, particularly the more these sorts of interventions are being publicized in the mainstream media as well. It's simply very bad PR.
So they're clearly not happy about it, but maybe a bit hamstrung about what they can do or say about that publicly. But what about privately?
Well, exactly. Is it paranoid to imagine that companies like Google and Facebook could do more than just run a kind of upfront negative publicity campaign, which you would expect, right, from any industry. But given the fact that they are the carrier of that message and not just its author, do they have some sort of extra power, and is it paranoid to believe that they would use it?
That's a really good question. It's very difficult to answer. And to some extent, the answer there is getting into conspiracy theory territory to some extent.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you're absolutely right. I mean, what some conspiracy theorists on the right and on the far right have said for a very long time is that Facebook and Twitter and others are manipulating trending topics and you know their recommendations and algorithms and so on in order to downplay discussion of you know whatever the latest conspiracy theory is, whether it's chemtrails or whatever the Democrats are supposed to be up to. So it's possible now that we might actually see the mirror image of that kind of debate from the Democrat side as well. There is also, frankly, there is a possibility that the company certainly will play dirty in some form. We have seen this to some extent in the past with some stories. There was a story just a few months ago that Facebook was dealing with some of the questions about privacy on the platform and the platform's use of data by essentially hiring a very dubious and very aggressive PR company that was apparently connecting some of the critics of Facebook with a campaign that was supposedly run by George Soros and
yes,
all of these sorts
this.
Of typical conspiracy stories. So Facebook has some form in this, certainly trying to, well, smear its opponents, I guess,
sure.
in a way that isn't unlike how the far right actually smears some of its opponents as well. But of course, it's one thing just to smear some random critic. It's another smearing a very well-known political figure in this way. I think, again, for Facebook, that would be a very high-risk approach as well.
Right. So smearing Elizabeth Warren in any serious way looks unlikely, but not out of the question.
And even if there are no really underhanded tactics and it plays out as a more traditional upfront PR war, they're not going to just take it. But for argument's sake, just say these changes did get through. What happens next?
Well, on some level, they'd just have to cop it. But Axel thinks that we might see some sort of partial exodus from the US.
They might not completely leave. I think that would certainly be a bad look for them as well, if nothing else. And of course, they've got some very significant assets, some very significant investments with, you know, Apple's just built its new headquarters a few years ago, I think. So they wouldn't just completely want to give that up, I think. But they could certainly shift the center of their operations in a way that helps them avoid some of these negative impacts, I think, at least to a point.
Right. So essentially, they might just say to the US government, all right, we'll go somewhere else if they're pushed too hard.
Yeah, which I guess kind of underscores the original point that these companies are huge and possibly beyond the reach of even the most powerful governments in the world.
That's the Signal for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, you could tell your mates about us and give us a review.
Are you sure?
Do you want me? I don't want to force anyone to do anything. But yeah, and rate and review us on iTunes. Bye.
I guess. Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.